Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
So before we do that, I'm going to get ready to introduce, or not introduce, but I'm going to get our guest today, our minister for the hour of the hour, Apostle Peter Barnes is here from South Africa. Let's all stand. We're going to get ready to honor and receive the apostle. Those of you know what you're about to expect, and those of you that have never heard him, I want you to brace yourself. I want you to get ready to receive the word of God. There's a right way to receive the word. Do you know that? And many people don't know how to receive the word of God. And one of the ways that Jesus told us the proper ways to receive the word is to hear the word. But when we hear that word here, we may mistake it with listen. So like we'll come down and we'll sit down and we'll just listen. But when the Bible talks about hearing, it also speaks about listening with the intent to do something. It's listening ready to take what you're hearing and put it into practice, to apply it, to put it into use. So if you just sit and just listen to a word without posturing yourself to get ready to move on the word, you will miss what the essence of what that word carried to bring into your life, to transform your life, to take you from here to there, to cause your life to grow, to see fruit and harvest, right? That seed that's going to be sown into your heart, you got to get ready to allow that word to sink in so that it can reach out of you and produce something, produce some fruit in your life. Amen. So we want to honor Apostle Barnes, a man who labors internationally in the Word of God. He preached this morning somewhere else. So if you know anything about preachers, you get warmed up the first time, and the second time you're ready to go, all right? So I'm believing for a double portion. Everybody say a double portion. Come on, I want you to clap. I want you to shout. I want you to get ready to receive Apostle Barnes as he comes to break the word of God to us.
Come on, let us give Jesus a hand of praise. Come on, let's bless the Lord in this house. Come on, shout glory. Shout hallelujah. Father, we thank you that in your presence there is fullness of joy and there are pleasures forevermore. We thank you that we can be found in a place where we seek you, Lord. And your word declares, whoever seeks me will find me. We speak your blessing over this house, over everyone that will hear and receive the word today, that we will be changed from glory to glory. We speak healing over every sickness that is in this place and declare that everyone will receive today as your word will be ministered. Bless us now as we gather in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I am greatly blessed. Am I going to stand up here today? Is it okay? You know, I normally stand down. It's better for me. You gave me a theme, so I'm going to teach on that. If it's okay with the church, I'm going to help you tonight. Amen. I want to acknowledge, first of all, Apostle Samuel Sr. That is with us. Let us once again celebrate the apostle. We met some time ago and with your elder brother. We had a great time of fellowship. We were sitting there at Bethesda and just enjoying fellowship. So it's great to see you again, sir. Lord bless you. And you've raised a fine young man that's sitting next to you. Let's celebrate your pastor, Pastor Samuels, the junior one. Praise the Lord. It is always good to be in this house. The spirit of worship is always potent. And these musos are tight. I felt you guys could just give us a jazz session tonight and we could just... What do you say? If there's no jazz in heaven, I don't want to go to heaven. So I'm just saying, you guys are tight. I've been blessed. Are you blessed tonight? I was initially, Pastor Samuel, he usually just say to me, preach as the Spirit leads. But this time he gave me something. Then again yesterday or today he says, speak as the Spirit leads. So I've prepared already on what he gave me. And I'm going to teach along that line. Because I believe it will help all of us to be able to have a greater understanding. And to be able to demonstrate. Can you say demonstrate? Demonstrate. To demonstrate healing in every area that we will experience. So he asked me initially to speak or to minister on the subject of healing. So I'm going to teach tonight on principles of healing or just saying how to heal the sick. But I'm going to really go into the scriptures with you. So I need you to stay with me. As you know, my forte is to teach the word. I actually had two services at Bethesda. This is my third one. So this is the resurrection one. Now there's a distinct difference between receiving under the old covenant and receiving under the new covenant. Everything under the old covenant was conditional. It hinges on your external behavior and your performance. There was always a if attached to the promise. If God gave you something under the old covenant, he will say, if you keep my commandments, if you obey, if you do this, you will receive the blessing. We see it in Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 where the Bible say, if you carefully obey all these commandments, then these blessings will follow you. We see in the book of Joshua chapter 1 where he says that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night that you may be able to observe to do. He says, then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. So there is a if or there is something you have to do in order to receive. We see in the book of 2 Chronicles where the Bible say, if my people. It's a famous verse the church used today. I don't know why we use that verse on the church. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face, turn. You cannot call a believer wicked. We've been redeemed in Christ. In fact, in the fulfillment of Peter, it says, I have heard your prayers. I have answered you. But under the old covenant, I'm trying to show you something. Because many people, when they need healing, they always want to attach what they bring to the table to receive the healing. You want to fast for your healing. You want to lay before God for your healing. So you're trying to earn something that was already given as a gift. And so we see that this is how the old covenant works. Under the old covenant, you forgive so that you can be forgiven. Under the new covenant, you forgive because you are forgiven. Under the old covenant, you give because you want to receive. Under the new covenant, you give because you have already received. Out of the abundance of his grace, he has given us one blessing after another blessing. Under the old covenant, you give because you want to be blessed. Under the new covenant, you give because you are already blessed. And so in 1 Peter chapter 3, we find that the Bible say that by his stripes we are healed. Romans chapter 4, I'm working just into my introduction. It's going to get heavy. You got to stay with me. Romans, he asked me to teach, and that's what I'm going to do. Romans chapter 4, the Bible say that if Abram was justified by the law, he would have, or by works, he would have something to boast about, but not before God. But the text say, but Abram was justified by faith. Because if it was by works, then it's no longer a gift. So if you earn it, it's no longer something that is given as a gift, but it's something that you've worked for. During the time when I ministered in a place called Aiduchua, where I planted by the grace of God with my family 14 churches among the Xhosa speaking people, I once invited an evangelist to come and minister. Now, I work like this in the church. When I invite a speaker, I invite the speaker because he specializes in something the house needs. How many know what I'm talking about? You don't just invite a speaker because it's been a long time since you had a guest speaker. You invite a speaker because the speaker has something that the house need at that time. How many knows that if you have a plumbing problem, you don't call an electrician? If you have a plumbing problem, you better call a plumber. You call an electrician, he's going to be in the roof while the problem is on the floor. So that is why in the body of Christ, I believe that there are ministries that specializes on specific things. If you take the fivefold ministry, the only ministry gift that is residential is the pastoral gift. The other four in the fivefold are ministry gifts to the body. So you find then in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, when the Bible says God has set in the church, first apostles, second prophets, then teachers, then what evangelists, he say, working of miracles. What does he attach to the evangelism? He attached the working of miracles. Then to the pastor, he say administrations, which means that the pastor is the gift that administers the different gifts in the house. But the pastor is the only residential gift in the fivefold ministry, which means the pastor in medical terms is the general practitioner. Okay, when you go to a GP, you always start out at a GP. So if you have an ear pain or you have a nose pain, or you have eye pain, or whatever pain you have, you always start at a general practitioner. The general practitioner then see that this is beyond me who can deal with general issues. You need a specialist. Come on, talk to me. They are all in the medical field, but they specialize us in different dimensions. So the GP or the general practitioner, he can administer various things. That is why a pastor must be a lawyer. He must be a doctor. He must be a teacher. He must be everything. Because people come to him for all their needs. But then he realizes there's a specific need in the church. For instance, our marriages are under attack. And maybe he doesn't specialize in married ministry. So he brings in a specialist to be able to minister to the house. So what happened then? When you bring in the prophetic gift releases that grace and stir the people that has that same anointing. Not everyone in the church is prophetic. If someone has a teaching gift, then he's not much taken up with the prophetic. I have someone in the church, he studied theology 17 years. Thank God he came into grace. He was worse than Moses when it came to the law. Now he's a teacher. He loves to dissect the word. He's always asking a million questions. But when the prophet is in front and the prophet prophesies, he's totally switched off. Now I said to him, listen, it may not be the flavor of your gift, but there's a need for him to prophet in the body to stir the rest of the body. So because he's a teaching gift, he's not really perturbed when the prophet is busy because he wants to have revelation. Are you listening to me? So we are drawn to different giftings within the body. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, and God gave apostles, he prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Then you also see that the purpose of the fivefold is not to do the ministry alone, but it's to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So if I'm a prophetic gift in the body, I must raise up a prophetic people where I'm not the only one running the show, but others are also doing ministry as well. So the evangelist comes in. He stirs our hearts to evangelize. He also releases that gift because he comes with miracles, etc. So we find then that the body is structured in a certain way. Now, the first question I want to put to you is, who is healing for? Who is healing for? It's a very good question. We find in the book of Matthew, chapter 15 from verse 22. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to work through the story because of time. We find the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus and called him son of David because her child was vexed with demons. You know the story. You know what Jesus replied to? What Jesus say? I cannot take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Now let's just dissect what's happening here. You have a Canaanite woman who is a non-Jewish woman. Jesus tells us that my ministry, I came to my own. Jesus' ministry was exclusively to the Jews. Every time a Gentile stumbles on him by faith, the Gentile receives something, but his focus of ministry was to the Jews. So here comes a woman whose child needs deliverance and healing. She comes to Jesus and says, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus said to her, I cannot take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. So in the context, first of all, Jesus calls a miracle, or Jesus calls deliverance, or Jesus calls healing bread. What is bread to a child? Bread is the right of a child. If your child comes to you as a parent and say, I am hungry, can I have bread? You never ask your child to clean his room first or clean the yard first before you give him bread, because bread is his right. But if your child comes and says, Mommy, I see there's a chocolate in the refrigerator, you say, go clean your room first before you get the chocolate, because the chocolate is a privilege. So when we make a big deal, God calls it bread, which is your right. What we struggle to get is what God say is me as a father, as your father to you as a child. It is your right to be healed. It is your right to be delivered. It is your right to receive a miracle. Then the woman reduced it to a crumb. The Canaanite woman say, Lord, but the children eat, the puppies eat from the crumbs that falls from the table. So Jesus called the Jews, the children, in the context, and Jesus called the Gentiles dogs. The woman reduced the Gentiles to a puppy and reduced a miracle to a crumb. If you can't receive healing, there's something wrong with you. Because in your father's eyes, it is just a crumb that falls from the table. So if this Canaanite woman could receive her miracle under a time when it was not yet her season, because Jesus was supposed to still go to the cross to activate the miracle for the Gentiles, but her faith forced Jesus to go into the future and bring a miracle from the future into the present, because the Bible says, now faith is... I don't want to go too deep into this because you've heard me speak. I don't know if they've done the message here, who let the dogs out. But that's exactly what happened here. Because what happened here is this. The woman did not qualify because she was a Gentile. The Jews called Gentiles pigs and dogs, which means that she will only qualify after the cross. But she lay hold by faith and received her crumb, because the Bible says immediately her child was healed. Oh, I've come to say to you that before the cross, the Jews were sitting at the table and the Gentiles were sitting under the table. But we thank God, after the cross, we are now sitting at the table, because Jesus gave us the Lord's table, where the dogs are sitting at the table and the Jews are sitting with the law under the table, and the Jews are asking, who let the dogs out? I believe the guy who wrote that song wrote it psychologically. I think it was written for the Gentiles. Because every time the Jews look at the Gentiles, they are angry at us. They say, it took us thousands of years to keep the law, to appease God, and you Gentiles stumble into the kingdom by faith. We say yes. And the Jews are saying, who let the dogs out? Because every time we sit at the Lord's table, the dogs are sitting at the table. Healing is your right. Don't make it a big deal. It is something that is the children's bread. Everyone say the children's bread. Say one more time, the children's bread. I got a long way to go. Stay with me. Healing can be received, and I'm teaching, healing can be received and administered in more than one way. healing can be received and administered in more than one way. Healing can come through the gift. Healing can come through faith. Healing can come through the glory. I'm going to break it down for you in a minute. Healing can come through the gift. Healing can come by faith. Healing can come through the glory. Now, we understand that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have, where the Bible say, I do not want you to be ignorant, verse 1, concerning spiritual gifts. Where he says, no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Spirit. Then he gives us the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And part of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit is also the gift of healing. Everyone say, the gift of healing. Say one more time, the gift of healing. So what he's saying is that healing is given as a gift to heal. In other words, when you have the gift of healing, the person you minister healing to, the recipient of the healing, does not need to have faith. The gift will heal the person. Come on, talk to me now. Have you ever seen someone healed and all the person says, I don't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm healed. Because it's got nothing to do with the person who is healed. It's got everything to do with the gift that was in the house to be able to activate healing in the person, even if the person did not believe. I'm going to break it down in a minute. But then you also have the gift or healing by faith, because you also have what is called the gift of faith. But when you pray for someone by faith, it is best if you connect, if that you minister faith to the recipient, where your faith and the recipient's faith becomes connected, and then you can minister healing by faith. I'm going to show you the scripture say, these signs shall follow them that believe. When healing comes by the glory, it's when the presence of God invades a place and the glory is present. Nobody has to do nothing. No one has to pray for the sick. No one has to lay hands on the sick. When the glory comes into a place, God do it all by himself simply because he is God. So healing through faith. Stay with me. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible say, and Jesus says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation. He says, he that believe, verse 16, and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall trample on serpents, and they will drink, the Bible say, deadly poison. It shall not by no means hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, the laying on of hands here is on the basis of these signs shall follow them that believe. So it is laying on of hands by faith. Are you still with me? It is laying on of hands by faith. And so as we go, these signs will follow them that believe. And if we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Now there's another thing. It says they will recover. Recovery is a process. Okay, I'll get to that. Because many times people forfeit the healing because they don't understand how the spirit realm works when it comes into the natural realm. So because it doesn't happen at once, they believe it has not happened. Okay, we get there. So, how does healing work? All healing in the spirit is instant. All healing in the spirit is instant. In the natural, it depends when the manifestation comes. Let me say it again. All healing in the spirit is instant. In the natural, it depends when the manifestation comes. Remember, God created time, but God does not live in time. And time spells delay and decay. So what happened is this. Whatever you need in the present or in the natural is already done in the spiritual. Because it has not yet manifested doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Okay, let me take my time. I got a long way to go. Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible say, now faith is. What is faith? First of all, faith is now. And when is now? If you have it now, what are you waiting for? So what is faith? Faith is now. And faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith brings into reality now what must still manifest in the future. The Bible actually put it this way. The Bible say, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, whatsoever things, 1 John, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them, then you will have them. You will not have them if you not already received them. So in the natural, we can have instant healing or we can have progressive healing. In other words, let me put it this way. You can have an instant manifestation or you can have a progressive manifestation. Because remember, he says, these signs will follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If I'm in recovery, then it's a process. But this is what happened. When a healing takes place instant, we call it a miracle. But is it really a miracle? Depending of what you're dealing with. Because in my understanding, a miracle is when God intervenes in a disaster that is beyond human capacity. Which means that if God gives you a new eye where there's nothing in that socket, that's a miracle. If God grows a new leg where there's no leg, that's a miracle. If God gives you a new hand or a finger where there's nothing, that's a miracle. But reality is, a miracle is only needed when you face a disaster. Okay, I don't want to go there because I brought a message years ago. You know what I titled the message? Miracles are for babies. And you know what I was saying? I was saying this. If you look at God, God is a consistent God. The sun comes up every day. The moon are there every day. We are able to breathe every day. There's oxygen available every day. God doesn't make the sun disappear and show us how powerful he is to bring the sun back after we're all busy melting on earth. Are you with me? God is a consistent God. Everyone say consistent God. Now, most believers live their life from one miracle to another. You always need a financial miracle, which means your life is always in a disaster. Isn't it better to have consistency than needing a miracle every day? Isn't it better to be financially stable than having to cry out every month to God, oh God, I need a miracle. And then you want to threaten God as if God is threatened, where you say, God, you have to do this because the people are looking at me as if God is sitting in heaven. I have to prove to them I'm God. No, God doesn't have to prove anything. Isn't it better to have consistent health than to need help every month? Because God is a consistent God. Oh, I don't want to deviate, but let me say this to you, that every situation you go through today, it can only come from three different sources. Everything you go through, be it your finances, your relationships, your marriage, whatever you are in, it can only come from three different sources. It can either be demonic inspired, it can be God allowed, or it can be self-inflicted. So when you go through a situation, you must know, is this demonic inspired? If it's demonic inspired, then it means that the devil is attacking you, because the devil does not test you, the devil tempt you. But God does not tempt you, God tests you. So you must know, is this a temptation or is this a test? But then you must also know, is this self-inflicted? Because 70% of our problems are self-inflicted. You eat wrong, you plan wrong, you make the wrong decisions, then you blame the devil for everything, and the devil had nothing to do with it. Oh, Pentecostals love to blame the devil. I am convinced the devil no longer comes to church. The devil is tired of being accused for everything. He used to sit at the back of the church, but every Sunday they testify. They say the devil was busy this week. The devil was in my husband. The devil, and the devil say it was my off week. I just came from Mauritius. I had a nice holiday. Come and talk to me. So if you don't know if your situation is God-inspired, satanic-inspired, or God-allowed, or whether it is self-inflicted, you will not deal with it properly. Because what if God is testing you? A test is not to destroy you. A test is not to break you down. A test is to promote you. But what if God is testing you and you are rebuking the devil all the time? God wants to take you to the next level. So God is testing you, where He's growing your character to be able to handle your next blessing. But all you do is, devil, I rebuke you. Devil, you must go. Leave the devil out of the business and surrender to God, that God can promote you.
I need to get to my point. So we term a miracle when the healing is instant. But all healing in the spirit are instant. I'm going to get to that towards the end and give you a personal testimony on that. Progressive healing is what we see in the book of Mark, where He says that you shall recover. So who can minister healing? Who can minister healing? Every born-again spiritual believer can minister healing. Every born-again spiritually can minister healing. Now, let me just go and touch quickly on 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 gives us the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gives us the speaking gifts, the power gifts, and it gives us the hearing gifts. So it speaks of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, speak of tongues, interpretation, speaks of healing, deliverance, speaks of peace of prophecy, etc. But it specifically speaks about the gift of faith and the gift of healing. Everyone say the gift of faith. And everyone say the gift of healing. Then it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The man from the station. Oh, sorry, the manifestation. I thought it was the man from the station. Okay. Listen to what he say. He's saying the manifestation of the Spirit. Everyone say the manifestation of the Spirit. So whose manifestation is it? It's the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Who is each one? Who is each one? Is given to each one for what purpose? For the profit of all. So now the 9 gifts of the Spirit, people always interpret it this way. You have one, he has one, he has one, she has one, she has one. No, I believe that every believer can flow in all 9 of the gifts if you have the faith to do it. Let me show it to you. This is how it works. Let's say you sit in a group. Let's say you have 9 people, you have 10 people in the group. And let's say the 10 person need ministry. And you put a 10 person on a chair and the person pour out his or her situation. It's the person needs healing, needs deliverance. The person needs to be healed from unforgiveness, bitterness, anger. The person has finance, lots of issues the person is having. The minute there's a need on the table, any one of the 9 believers can minister their need if they have the faith. Any one of the 9 can minister if they have the faith. Now I'm going to show it to you in another angle, because this is the easiest way for me to do it. Let's say you are in a church service and there's a sister. Many times you find this in a church. There's one sister, when the pastor say, can the church just be quiet? and wait on the Lord. Then there's one sister who started to speak in tongues. How many know what I'm talking about? It's everywhere the same. Okay. How many know what I'm talking about? There's that one sister. Whenever the pastor say, can we just be quiet? No one talks. Then that sister will begin to rabba sheketa on top of everyone while everyone is quiet. Right? Can I help you today? When that sister do that, you actually go home and say, why is she doing that every week with no interpretation? Uh-huh. But put it this way. The Bible doesn't expect her to interpret. The Bible expects all of us to interpret. So if she speaks in a tongue and no one interprets, all of us has failed. Because the Bible says one speaks in tongue, two interprets. So if you judge her, you're supposed to judge yourself because you did not have the faith to interpret what she released in tongues. Okay, put it this way. I don't want to go too deep into the gifts because I want to stay on this. But this is how the gifts of the Spirit works. When you look at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, you get 12 where Paul deals with the issue that was in the Corinthian church where they thought some gifts were superior to others. So Paul deals with the fact all gifts are equal. No one can say I'm better than you. You cannot say to the eye, I don't need you, to the nose, etc. We are all equal. He gives the fivefold in there. And then before he goes to explaining how the gifts work in chapter 14, he now say, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So he splits it with chapter 13, which is a chapter of love. And chapter 13 say, if I have all the gifts, I speak in tongues, I make all the noise, but I have no love, I am nothing. So now he say, before the gift must function, it must be preceded by love. Because you can imagine if I prophesy with you with no love, I'm going to show you now what God reveals to me to hang out your dirty washing. But if I prophesy with love, I prophesy with restoration. I prophesy to bless my brother. I don't prophesy to expose. When it comes to chapter 14, he now shows you how the gifts work. So now he says in chapter 14, he says this, he literally says, tongues is preferable, but prophecy is tongues is permittable in a crowd, but prophecy is preferable. Because the context is, if we are gathering as the body must always benefit. Because if I speak in a tongue and there's no interpretation, then I had a great time in the Lord, but no one participated. Come on, talk to me. So it's like I've just eaten up a 5-liter bowl of ice cream all by myself without sharing with anyone that is amongst me. You know, you find people like that, they buy something nice and they eat it up in your presence without offering you nothing. In fact, I had an uncle who got married to my aunt. I had an uncle who was married to my aunt. They say, this uncle used to bring my aunt huge chocolates, but he eat it all by himself. Okay. Okay, so some people like to do that. So this is what I'm trying to say, is that all of us can flow in all of the 9 gifts if we have the faith. Then I'm going to close this by saying this, where I speak on the gifts. Then Paul say this. Paul say, desire the greater gift. So when you look at him saying, desire the greater gift, or when he say, desire the better gift, you would now think he say, desire the gift that is better than his gift or her gift. No. What he's saying is, desire the gift appropriate for the moment. In other words, if there's a need for healing, why am I prophesying? If there's a need for prophecy, why am I worshiping? Come on, talk to me. In other words, you must always desire the gift that is necessary for the moment. So if there's a gift for healing, you can do it. If there's a need for prophecy, you can prophesy. Because then he say, you can all prophesy. But it doesn't make all of you prophets. You see, the Bible is clear. The gift of prophecy is only for edification, exhortation, and to build up your brother. But the office of the prophet can speak into a different dimension. So someone with a gift cannot prophesy over apostolic grace. You know why he gave the gift of prophecy only for edification and exhortation? Because if all of you would be able to see what the prophets see, the church will be in a mess. Because if you don't like something, you're going to expose them. Come on, talk to me now. Okay, I need to run because of time. How to heal the sick? Let me surprise you. Jesus never prayed for the sick. That's where we miss it. That's where we miss it. How do we deal with a sick person? We get to a sick person. They say the person has cancer, right? So now we're going to pray for a half an hour for the person who has cancer. But show me one place where Jesus prayed for the sick. Jesus never prayed for the sick. He took authority over the sickness. He spoke to the infirmities. He never prayed long prayers. And then how do we pray for the sick? Oh, Father, you are such a good God. Oh, Lord, you are Jehovah. You don't have to tell God who he is. He knows who he is. You don't have to tell him. God is not confused. And then you tell God everything about himself that he knows about himself already. Why not just take authority in the name of Jesus? Because that's what you have. I don't know if I said this before, but let me say this to you. When I teach on the principles of prayer and show you how to pray from a place of grace, I will show you that when you pray the prayer of faith, when you pray the prayer of faith, you always pray the prayer of faith based on a promise already given through the cross to you. So you only ask once, then you thank God for it, which I will close in a moment. But this is how it works. We always mix the principle that governs the prayer of consecration to the principle that governs the prayer of faith. Let me explain very quickly. The prayer that governs consecration is this. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew he had to go and pay the price for our sins. He knew there was no one else that could do it. He felt the weight of our sin upon him, and he said these words, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass me by. Right? Because Jesus had a will of his own. He was not forced to the cross. He chose to go to the cross. Then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So he surrendered his will to the Father's will. And then he kept his eyes like a flint to go and die on the cross. So the victory was already won in Gethsemane. Not so much on the cross. Because there was no turning back from that point. So the prayer of consecration works like this. You know what the will of God is for your life. So God says to you, I want you to leave your job, leave your security, and go as a missionary to Timbuktu. So you've heard God's voice. You know you must go to Timbuktu. But you look at what it's going to cost you to get there. And then you say, Father, isn't there anyone else you can send? But then you say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. So you surrender to God and you go on your mission. So the consecrated prayer is always close in a context where you surrender your will back to God. But what do? Is when we pray for the sick, we mix the prayer of consecration with the prayer of healing. So this is what we do. We actually do it to hide our unbelief. Okay, let me show you. Let me show you what we do. You are called over by a neighbor who heard that you have healing powers when you pray for a headache. Come on, talk to me now. How many know you're going to start with a headache? If the headache, and how many knows that when you have the gift of healing, the first three you pray for always die on you? Oh, sorry, I didn't say that. So you go to the neighbor's house. You don't know why they call you, but they heard that you operate in healing. So you walk into the house. The whole family are there. They are all looking morbid and sad and hopeless. And there lies one of their family members, stage 4 cancer, just about to die. The minute you see it, your faith is shaken. But now Christians learn how to maneuver their way out of situations. So now you come and the people say, we hear that you've got healing hands. And then you talk and then now you lay hands on the sick person. Now you pray for a half an hour, 45 minutes. Oh Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Nissi. You are the great healer. You let the people out of Israel. What did Israel got to do? What love got to do with this? Who needs her? Oh, let me not say it. Lord have mercy, I'm in the church. And so now you pray a long prayer. But before you close your prayer, you pray on the highest of your voice. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. You are just setting up your unbelief. Because in case they call you 3 o'clock in the morning and say she did not make it, then you will pull religion on them and say, have you heard? When I finish my prayer, I say, Lord, not your will, but my will be done. But the Bible says, by his stripes, you are healed. It's not my business. God has already done it in Christ. I'm supposed to release the power of God over that person. And then the family would say, we heard you actually say, Lord, if it's your will. Come on, talk to me. But what is the will when it comes to healing? He then say, by his stripes. He does not say, you will be healed. He says, by his stripes, you are healed. And how many know sinners sometimes get more healing than believers? Why? Because it's got nothing to do with you. Why? Because the reason why you don't receive, it's because you want to work for it. You want to now make your life more holy, live more pious, fast for 3 weeks for God to heal you. You try to earn what was given. You walk down to a sinner, he doesn't understand fasting, he doesn't understand nothing. He just knows there's a God who's good, who loves me, who died for me. And when you pray for him, he receives his healing. God shows his goodness to the unbeliever, and by his goodness, he brings them to Christ. I have seen more sinners be healed from cancer than believers. And how many times does people say, how can God heal him or her? You know, God heals a prostitute from cancer, but this sister who is so committed, no, this sister is a self-righteous, self-holy in the church for 50 years, thinking she's better than everyone and thinking that she can earn her way to heaven. But that sinner knows nothing about that. And God's grace shines for that because it's unmerited, it's undeserved, it's unearned. I said it before. You know it in your own life. You've said it sometimes. How come these sinners are more blessed than us? Because the sinners enjoy more grace than a self-righteous believer. I've walked into sinners in a business meeting, and the man swears like a sailor. He swears like crazy. And then later on, he tells you how good God is. God has just given me a $20 million contract. And you're thinking to yourself, how good God is? Because God makes his sun shine upon the righteous as well as the unrighteous. And the Bible is clear. God will show his goodness to the sinner. But to a self-righteous person, he will show nothing. So Jesus spoke with the infirmity. Jesus rebuked. He never prayed long prayers. He just say, eyes open. He say, stretch your hand. He say, lame walked. He never had a long prayer meeting for anyone that was sick. He took authority. He rebuked the sickness. He rebuked the infirmity. He rebuked whatever it was. So Romans call the things that the Bible say, God calls the things that be not as though they are. So Jesus spoke creative miracles into being. Jesus command things to happen because he had authority. In Isaiah, it's clear. It says that we have authority because by his stripes we are healed. But let me show you how this works very quickly. You're going to stay with me now carefully. If you haven't yet heard me, you must hear me now. John chapter 14. Just follow me carefully now. John chapter 14. I'm dealing with how healing is administered. Am I helping someone today? Am I helping someone today? All of you who are here can lay hands on the sick by faith and they can recover. For all of you, the gift is available if you have the faith. Have you ever walked into a situation where you see a sick person and there is a righteous indignation coming into you, where you get such a compassion and a passion for that person because God is now putting something in you that will literally take authority and raise that person from the dead? So listen to this carefully now. In John chapter 14, listen carefully now. Jesus say, believe me that I am in the Father. John 14 verse 11. Are you putting the scripture up by any means? Okay. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall also do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whosoever he, and whatsoever you ask in my name, he says, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now let me read John chapter 16, verse 23, before I explain that to you. John 16 from verse 23 and 24. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing, Jesus says. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. For verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall ask anything of my Father, he will give it to you in my name. So listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, in that day, you will ask me, Jesus, nothing. But whatever you ask the Father in my name, the Father will give it to you. That your joy may be complete. So in John 16, he talks about prayer. But in John 14, he's not talking about prayer. Let me break it down for you. In John 16, he says, whatever you ask the Father in my name. Now listen to what Jesus says. In that day, you will ask me nothing. When is that day? Or when did that day start? He's about to ascend into heaven. So we say, when I ascend into heaven, which is that day, which is still today. Where's Jesus? Jesus in his glorified body is where? In heaven. Who makes Jesus real to us? The Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, in that day, you will ask me, Jesus, nothing. But whatever you ask the Father in my name, the Father will give it to you, which speaks of prayer, which means that if you petition for anything, you must not petition Jesus for anything. You petition the Father, but you use the name of Jesus. I'm going to make it easy in a minute. And it's a very simple analogy. Okay. If Jesus must supply your need, then the Father is a weak Father. Because what does the very word Father mean? It means provider, protector. It means the essence of that. So if Jesus must supply your need, then the Father is like any father in America who's not working and his children are suffering. Come on, talk to me. And the brother must look after you. Come on, talk to me. But God is a Father who's our supplier. But Jesus is saying this, that my name is the name that carries power in the earth. And if you use my name, the Father will give it to you. So this is what happens. Let me explain it this way. Let's say we all live together in a community. I am running or leading that community where all of you, if you need anything, you will come to me to ask for it. So let's say you need bread. You can actually come and say, I'm going to use my first name. You can actually come and say, Pastor Peter, can you give me bread? Right? So why do you call my name? Because I'm standing in front of you. Are you listening to me? Because how's it going to sound if you say, Pastor Peter, in the name of Pastor Peter, can you give me bread? Right? So while he was with them, anything they need, they could come straight to him and say, Lord, we have nothing to eat. And he will supply them. But now that it's going away, look what happened now. So if I call you all together one day and I say, guys, I'm leaving you. I'm going somewhere else. I'm leaving Pastor Samuels in charge. But if you need anything, ask Pastor Samuels. Just use my name. So I am no longer here for you to ask me. So if you need bread, you're going to go to Pastor Samuels boldly and say, Pastor Samuels, in the name of Pastor Peter, I want bread. Can he refuse you? No, because I left my name behind for you. And my name is the deposit that must activate it for you. So when you pray, you never pray to Jesus. You pray to the Father, but you use the name of Jesus. It's a divine order. There's a divine order. It's a divine order. You don't go to the senior manager if you haven't first gone to the under manager with your problem. You can't just walk straight to the big boss. You have to work through the channels. So Jesus' name earned the authority for us, but it's the Father who supplies your need. So if you need something, you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, can you take care of this situation for me? And then because you use the name of Jesus, the Father must come and bless you. Now, that is hints to prayer because it says that your joy may be complete. So once your prayer answered, you come and testify about the goodness of God. Chapter 14 has nothing to do with prayer. Let me show you. Chapter 14. Go back to it. Chapter 14. John chapter 14. I read from verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he also do. So what is this? What is he talking about here? Works. What is he talking about yet? Demonstrating the power of Jesus Christ. He's not talking about prayer. He's talking about manifesting. So look what happens now. He says, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he says, I will do it. In 16, he say, the Father will give it. In 14, he say, I will do it. So when you pray for the sick, you leave the Father out of the equation. All you need is the name of Jesus. When you pray for the sick, you say, cancer, in the name that is above all names, I command you to leave this body. You speak to infirmity, but you use the name of Jesus. And Jesus say, I will do it. Oh, that's why the Bible say God has given him a name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Now, let me go. As I move towards conclusion, listen to this. You remember in the book of Acts, when they walked to the temple on the prayer, the eighth hour, remember there was a lame man sitting right there at the temple who was lame from birth. Remember, they were present when Jesus say, in that day, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Remember, they came and the man was begging for alms. And Peter says to the man, silver and gold have I not. He's not praying a long prayer about the goodness of God. He says, but that which I have, I give unto you. He says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And immediately the man was healed. What was he doing? He was demonstrating the power that Jesus gave him to use his name to perform miracles and to do works of miracles. So what do we do when we pray? We confuse it all up. I'm not trying to confuse you. When I teach on praying from the wrong place, I deal with the whole perspective of prayer. But then you will understand that God works in a certain sequence. So next time you pray for someone who is sick, don't make a long show. Just say, in the name of Jesus. That is the name they use. You know, go to the book of Acts. When Paul encountered anyone, he would just say, in the name of Jesus. He would just say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, blind I see. So we have received that authority from God. So now the Bible says God has given Jesus a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I have come to say to hungry for God, cancer is a name. And therefore cancer must bow to the name of Jesus. Diabetes is a name. Therefore, diabetes must bow to the name of Jesus. Arthritis is a name. Therefore, arthritis must bow to the name of Jesus. Ulcers is a name. And the name of Jesus is higher than any name. HIV/AIDS is a name. And HIV/AIDS must bow to the name of Jesus. Every sickness, every disease must bow to the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus is above every name. And there is power in the name of Jesus. Am I helping someone today? Am I helping someone today? Why do we put up a big show? In a church, when someone manifests a demon, why do we pray for hours in front with a demon hijack the whole service? Take the person to the back and say, devil, just go, man. Just go. We had enough of you. Now you turn the whole service into a spectacle where the devil is put on show. No, don't give the devil show in the presence of God, because God is greater than the devil. He has conquered the grave, conquered sin, conquered the devil, conquered sickness, conquered death. He has been victorious. I'm going to close with this. Maybe this will help you. Maybe this will help you. Years ago, I was in a place called Durban, where I was with a colleague of mine, and I picked up something that was heavy, and by picking it up, I pick it up the wrong way, and here where the abdominal pushes in the stomach, there's like a ring here, that thing stretches. As a result, when I went to lay down that night, I was unable to sleep laying on my back, because the minute I lay on my back, There was excruciating pain that was pushing up here by the stomach part, by the abdominal. So I went to my doctor. I asked him, what is this? He said to me, look, that thing has stretched here by the stomach where it pushes up. So you need to get an operation. I then spoke to my father, who at that time worked at a big hospital in Cape Town. He inquired with the professors, and they say, there's no other way. Your son must come for an operation. I then said to my wife, look, the doctors say I need an operation. The professors say I need an operation. But Isaiah say, whose report will you believe? And then he gives the answer. He says, we shall believe the report of the Lord. And the report of the Lord say, by his stripes I am healed. So what did I do? I said to my wife, let's pray in agreement. And I pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith works like this. It is based on a promise already given through the finished work of the cross, where you only ask once. Once you ask once, you don't ask again. You just thank God until the manifestation comes. But this is based on the book of Mark chapter 11. Because in Mark chapter 11 verse 22, the Bible say, Jesus say, have the faith of God. For I say to you, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and dost not doubt in your heart, you will have whatever you say. Then Jesus say, for I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, then you will have them. So what is Jesus saying? Let me make it simple for you. If you need $1,000 urgently, and you call a relative in Chicago, and you say, you give your long story. Now we know, we as people of color, we are drama queens. Whether you're a man, you're a drama queen. We can give a long story, a sobbing story, how you are pressed with your debts. And you ask eventually, after a lot of crocodile tears, can you help me with $1,000, please? And your relative say to you, no worries. It will be in your account tomorrow. What do you say to your relative? What do you say to your relative? What do you say to your relative? On what grounds do you say thank you? Is the money in your account already? Have you seen the money already? Is the money in your pocket already? Is the money in your house already? You say to your relative thank you on the basis of his word. Which means that you trust your relative more than you trust God. Because when God say, I have already done it, what are you supposed to say? Thank you. Okay, let me finish the story to give you context. Let me give you context here. So now you speak to your creditors with boldness. When they phone you, you say, tomorrow I'll sort you all out. On whose word? Your relative's word. Have you seen the money already? No. Is in your bank already? No. But on whose word do you say to people confidently, I'll sort you out tomorrow? On your relative's word. So the next day you go to the bank, to the ATM machine. You make sure everyone see you go to the machine. You don't mind if they see your PIN number. You're going to throw 1,000 cash. You even look and ask people, don't. You're almost like Mr. Bean. Come and see, come and see. And you put in your secret number, and the machine say, insufficient funds. Just lift my mic a bit. I want to say my word. The machine say what? Insufficient. Everyone say insufficient funds. Say one more time. Insufficient funds. So this is a scenario. You're going to call your relative again. This is my question. Are you going to tell the story again? Are you going to ask again? No. But why do you do that with God? In fact, you can call your relative and begin the conversation by saying, thank you for the money. I just want to know what is the delay. Because when you told me yesterday the money will be in, I believe that I have received, but I'm waiting for the manifestation. So your relative can say to you, I'm sorry, I was offline. They're working on the bank's lines, but the money will be in. So what do you say? Thank you. Why is it then that when you come out on a certain day and you have sickness in your body and the man of God lay hands on you and after he pray for you, you walk out here and say, maybe I will get healed. Maybe one day God is going to do it. Maybe even though the pain is still there, you're supposed to say, thank you. You're supposed to say, I believe, I have received, I'm waiting for the manifestation. Let me tell you my story. So I claim and I say thank you. Agree with my wife. The Bible say by his stripes I am healed. So I understand the principle of the prayer of faith. You don't ask again. Because if you ask again, you cancel out the last time. So I went to sleep that night. I still couldn't sleep flat. I went to sleep for the next 2 weeks. I still couldn't sleep flat. The pain was still there. But I didn't ask again. I just say, Father, I believe I have received. I'm waiting for my manifestation. I was just saying, devil, take your hands off my healing. Because when the Bible say, when Daniel went down to pray, the same day, God sent the answer. But there was intervention that wants to hold his prayer. I stayed in faith. I went to preach one night on TBN. When they were raising money, I preached and then prayed for the sick on television and went to my hotel room. When I got to my hotel room, I went to lie down. I lie down since then. The pain is gone since that time. I was completely healed. So this is what I want to say. Did I receive my healing that night? No. I received it 2 weeks prior. The manifestation came that night. But in the spirit, it was already done. I want to close. This is what we do. We ask God for something that is your right. Remember I told you that a miracle is bread and it's a come. It's your right to have. We ask God for something. And when the manifestation delay, we start making negative confession. We speak negative things. We go into a negative thought. You come to the church where you say, Pastor, pray for my husband. He's a drunkard. He don't want to serve God. And they pray. The church agree. And God give a prophetic word. I'm going to save him. I'm going to deliver him. And then you go home that night full of the spirit. But when you see your drunk husband, you say, you will never come right. You will never be a man of God. You cancel what you pray, because what you pray, you have to speak it into existence. You are supposed to go home that night, and when you see your drunk husband, you say to him, I see a man of God. I see a man filled with the spirit. I see a deacon. I see an elder in the church. Because you must create by your words. Because Jesus say, whatever you say, not whatever you pray. So from that night, I never had an operation. I am completely healed in the name of Jesus. Because I know that my Father loves me. And your Father loves you tonight. And whatever it is you need of your Father, he will give it to you. And whatever you need of Jesus, he will do it for you. Because he is the power that can heal any disease. I'm going to hand over, but I want you all to stand in this place right now. If there's sickness in your body in any place, I'm just going to agree with you right where you're standing. Beloved, it's time that we take God at his word. The word is not difficult. God is not difficult. It is based on your faith. Under the new covenant, it's not your works. It's not your expression. It's not what you bring to the table. It's what Christ has already made available. Put your hand on the place where the pain is, whatever it is, whatever the doctor said to you, whatever it is. And I'm just going to command sickness in this house to go. Beloved, there is an anointing in this place. There is healing in this place. There is a glory in this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority now over every sickness that is in everyone's body, that is in this place. In the name of Jesus, I command every sickness to go right now. Command pain to go. Any blood disease, any form of sickness or cancer, any form of high blood pressure, arthritis, whatever it is, I speak to it now and command it in the name of Jesus. Go from their body now. And I pray healing to take place in their body now. In Jesus' name. I declare by His stripes. 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 You are healed. In Jesus' name. Come on, move your hand, move your arm, move your leg, move your shoulder. Come on, move, do what you could not do. I declare healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.